cheese. Ah, welcome back to That's Some Cheese, part of the Vendetta Sports Podcast Network. Today is Thursday, June 21st. It's NBA Draft Day. But before I get started on this episode of That's Some Cheese, make sure to check out our first sponsor, thedaydrinkers.com. T-shirts, hats, beanies, coffee mugs, pillows, you name it, we probably have it. Our newest item are the LeBrockets T-shirts. That's right. Get ready if LeBron James joins the Houston Rockets, or before LeBron James joins the Houston Rockets, it's time to get your LeBrockets on. James Harden, Chris Paul, how can LeBron James say no? Get your shirt today. It looks fantastic. We got the James Harden beard, the King Crown. LeBron has to say yes, right? Regardless, get your shirt. It's an awesome merchandise piece to have, brought to you by thedaydrinkers.com. We tap it into AM. Also, make sure to check out our site. We are brought to you by VendettaSportsMedia.com. We have a lot of great podcasts also in the show. The Clear Path Podcast, Keep It To Yourself, my other podcast, The Lead Word, Chad's newest show, Heavyweight Hot Takes. A lot of great content out there on the site. So again, make sure to check out VendettaSportsMedia.com. So I wanted to start out this episode by talking about the biggest news in the NBA, the Kawhi Leonard trade. And I just, you know, during a trade, I kind of want to see, okay, could he go here? Could he go here? Could he go here? The NBA salary cap is so unique that you have to match salaries, and a lot of people don't understand this. You have to get $17 million in matching salaries to match the Kawhi Leonard $20 million. Other sports, you don't have to do that. You could just fit anybody in the salary cap, and it doesn't matter about matching trades. But the NBA, as we've talked about before, they're paralyzed. You have to match salaries to make a trade work. So I start looking around. Kawhi Leonard wants to go to the Lakers. There's a big problem in this. For the Lakers to make any trade work involving Kawhi Leonard, they have to ship out the Luol Deng contract. Luol Deng makes $17 million per season this year and next year. San Antonio does not want that contract. San Antonio also will not do the Lakers any favors. If Kawhi Leonard is traded to the Los Angeles Lakers, it will be for an overpay. They will not do a Western Conference team any favors.
Jeez.
The same thing goes whether you want to add Brandon Ingram or Lonzo Ball or Kyle Kuzma, Luol Deng has to be in the trade. The Spurs do not want Luol Deng. This is why I don't see a trade happening with the Los Angeles Lakers. That's interesting. Maybe he won't go to LA. Well, let's try the Clippers, right? Tobias Harris has to be your piece in the trade. He's a good player, 19-point-per-game scorer. Here's the problem. The only other pieces the Clippers have to offer are the 12th overall pick and a 13th overall pick. The success rate of players picked 12th and 13th are not good. You don't find a lot of all-stars at 12 and 13. Meanwhile, if the Clippers want to pull off this trade, they have less than 24 hours. Scratch that. They have about 12 hours to get this deal done. Because the Clippers have to make these picks today. How do you know who San Antonio wants? The Clippers could take a guy San Antonio has no interest in. Pulling off Kawhi Leonard trade in about 10 hours when the Spurs just met with him yesterday. And obviously the meeting didn't go well. But I don't think they're giving up on the situation. Remember, LaMarcus Aldridge also requested a trade. They're not going to trade Kawhi Leonard in less than 24 hours. Not happening. So, what do the Clippers do? Because they could pick two guys that San Antonio has no interest in. they could also use those picks to move up. And then San Antonio still might not have interest in those players. So the Clippers might be out too, because Tobias Harris, 12 and 13, that's still probably not enough for a guy who was a finals MVP. We'd probably agree with that. So we're looking around. Meanwhile, keep in mind, the Spurs don't want to trade him to the West regardless. So let's look around. Who else could they trade him to? It's obvious. So let's run through the scenario. Danny Ainge calls today. All he says, hey, listen, we know it's been a rough few days for you. Pop, we don't want to bother you. It's been a rough few days. Just keep us in the loop. That's all you say. Don't even call him for the whole month. Rest of the month, don't call him. Don't text him. Don't say anything to Popovich. Don't say anything to R.C. Buford. Just let him sit. Let him field offers. Let him field those Luol Deng offers. Let him field those Tobias Harris offers. Nobody who's a tanking team is going to trade for the rental. Let him go field those offers. Just see what they can get. Hell, they might not even call anybody San Antonio. People might be calling them just to see, throw some offers out there. Then in July, beginning of July, before free agency, call him again. Danny Ainge says, listen, I have an interesting proposition for you.
Jeez.
I know that it's been a rough few days, but just hear me out on this. We throw you a Marcus Smart sign and trade. You get to negotiate the Marcus Smart contract. Regardless, it'll count for $6 million in the trade. But you can pick out the Marcus Smart trade and you can match whatever deal. You want to pay him $10 million, whatever. You negotiate directly with Marcus Smart. We'll also throw you Marcus Morris, who makes a cheap $5 million. And he did a hell of a job guarding LeBron in at least a few of the games. He's proven to be a competent shooter. Tough, gritty guy that you'd love to have in the building. He makes $5 million. Okay, that gets us up to 11. Then we add Terry Rozier, who, my God, he had a hell of a playoffs. Had a hell of a late game stretch when Kyrie was out. Proved that he can be a starting point guard in the league. A position where you have old-ass Tony Parker and you could probably use a point guard. Yes, Murray's good. But Terry Rozier could be your starting point guard right now. Then, we just have a salary filler, Yabusele. That clears us to the 17 that we need to match the 20. And we say, listen. Danny Ainge calls up and says, listen. You will not get a better offer than this Sacramento Kings first-round pick in 2019. They will suck. Go around the league. Who has a better trade chip to offer than the Sacramento Kings first-round pick next year? They will suck. There is no question about it. And just to put the cherry on top, we'll even offer you the Memphis Grizzlies pick, which is protected 1-7, and then the year after it's 1-3 or 1-5 or whatever. They also are not very good, and that pick will be valuable when it conveys. We're going to give you those four guys and two first-round picks that are very valuable. Tell me, in what world can any team top that offer? Go around the league. At the realistic possibilities, what can Philly offer? Robert Covington, who sucks, Dario Saric, and maybe a first-round pick? That's not getting it done. San Antonio does not want Luol Deng. That trade will not happen. The Clippers, that offer doesn't beat it. What I just said, Marcus Smart, Marcus Morris, Terry Rozier, Yabu Sele, Kings first round pick, Grizzlies first round pick. Tell me a team that can beat that offer. I'll wait. I'm going to be waiting for a while. San Antonio, you have no leverage. Next year, he's a goner. You have to trade him. He not only requested a trade, not only has 1 year left on his deal, not only barely played last year, so his value is lower than ever. Not only do you not want to send him to the West, Celtics are in the East. I can make the argument that that's too much for him.
Jeez.
We're talking about a guy who's on a 1 year contract. A guy who said he's want to play for the Lakers. A guy who has 1 year on his contract. A guy who has requested a trade. And a guy who barely played last year. And a guy who still might be injured. Tell me how that's not the winning package. I'll wait. Nobody can top that offer. Nobody can top that offer. It's just these media meatheads on social media, on Twitter, that say, oh, you might want to throw in Kyrie Irving. In what world do you exist? Please retire from the internet. Oh, well, you might have to throw in Jaylen Brown. In what world do the Celtics need to throw in Jaylen Brown? That package is the best they're going to get. And they're in the East. They would take that deal over anything anybody else can offer. Because it's the best deal on the table. And I don't know if Danny Ainge has offered this or not. That's the best they can do. In fact, I can make the argument that's too much. Danny Ainge, this is your pathway to Kawhi Leonard. I am not in for it. Other than that, that's the offer. People need to start looking at these rookie contract stars like quarterbacks on rookie contracts. You cannot trade Jason Tatum. He makes pennies. You cannot trade Jaylen Brown. They make pennies. Because they already have three max contracts on the books. They need the Jason Tatums, the Jaylen Browns, the cheap contracts to fill out those books. Because you can't pay everybody. You can afford to swing this depth. And Boston's a team, big market city, can afford a high luxury tax bill next year. They can afford the four max deals and the two rookie salaries, and then to fill out the rest of the roster with bumps, second round picks, minimum contracts, veterans that want to win now. That team wins the title. That team also wins the title because they don't need to send anybody else in that trade. That's your package. I just want you to ponder this today. And you look at the articles that say, oh, well, I would trade Kyrie Irving for him. Why? In what world would you need to? Oh, well, Jaylen Brown, he has to be the piece that goes in a Kawhi Leonard trade. Why? In what world does he need to be in that trade? They will not get an asset more valuable than the Sacramento Kings first round pick next year. They won't get one. That's the best asset they can get. And you're talking about productive players, while not stars by any means. Terry Rozier has proven he could be a starting point guard in the league. Marcus Morris is a tough, gritty guy who can score the basket, really defend. Great bench piece for a cheap $5 million contract. Marcus Smart, those are guys you want on your team. Those are perfect San Antonio Spurs. That he'll get the most out of those guys, and they'll play their ass off for him. And you're getting two picks that you can go find your next Kawhi. That'll be top 10 picks. In what world is that not the best offer that anybody can offer? There is no reason to offer any of those guys. The Jason Tatums, the Jaylen Browns, the Kyrie Irvings, the Gordon Haywards. They're not going anywhere because they don't need to go anywhere. So I'm just sick and tired of these NBA meatheads that throw off these crazy trade packages because the Celtics have too much on the roster. That's a you problem. We're fine over here. God.
Jeez.
I mean, I just thought about this today. It was just a light bulb moment. How is that not the best deal? Nobody can top that. Boston's going to have 4 first-round picks next year. You can't top that. Anyway, you are listening to That's Some Cheese, part of the Vedetta Sports Podcast Network. You can find this podcast and all of our other shows on VendettaSportsMedia.com. Use the promo code CHEESE for free shipping on your daydrinkers.com order. We have That's Some Cheese merchandise. Use the promo code CHEESE. Free shipping on your order. The J.R. Smith Don't Drink and Hoop shirt. The daydrinkers.com has a lot of our merchandise, and we're proud to have them on board. One last thing before I close out the show. Another epiphany moment for me right before the draft. I know who I would take. I know who I would pick first. And ESPN's going to sit here and tell you, everybody's great. There's no bust in the draft. Meanwhile, go back to last year. How many guys matter in last year's draft?
I have a basketball obsession. It's really embarrassing.
Tatum, Donovan Mitchell, and Kyle Kuzma. The rest of the 60, 57 picks, whatever, don't matter. That's how the draft is every year. 3 to 5 guys matter. The rest of the picks are irrelevant. That's how the NBA draft is. They're going to sell you on all this garbage. It's the way the NBA draft is. And it's hard. You only see these guys for a year. It's really hard to scout these guys because you really have no idea what they can be. You're basing it all off of potential. It's really hard. But I know who I would pick. I've talked myself into it. Marvin Bagley should be the first pick in the draft. I said it. Marvin Bagley should be the first pick in the draft. And this is coming from a guy who's very anti-center. I don't think Marvin Bagley's a pure center, though. To me, he's so reminiscent of Chris Bosh. His shot looks like Chris Bosh. It's smooth. He's a good offensive rebounder. He went to Duke. He's smart. The big question mark is his defense. Will Duke play his own defense? Of course there's going to be some bad tape in his defense. They play zone. They're not playing man. And he's a stretch four. He doesn't have to be a rim protector. As long as he's not like Karl Anthony Kanter, who cares? He can shoot the ball. He shot over 40% from 3. Good offensive rebounder. Plays with intensity. Plays with fire. That's the guy you want. And we can talk about, ooh, DeAndre Ayton. DeAndre Ayton, best case scenario, isn't better than Clint Capella. What's he going to do? Be a lob catcher who can't protect the rim? No thanks. You can talk to me about Luka Doncic, and I'm in on the guy. Trust me, I'm in on the guy. But we've seen a lot of Darko Milicic's come around. We've seen a lot of Rick Smiths come around. Okay, this is no sure thing. And this is me saying, I've never seen the guy play. Doncic might be great, but he might be just below average. Bagley's a great athlete. He went to Duke. He's coachable. Good offensive rebounder. Can score the ball in multiple ways. Can shoot the ball. I don't know. He just looks like the best player every time I watch him. And I said this last year when I watched Tatum at Duke. They said, oh, well, he's not a good defender. They play zone. How do you know if he's not a good defender? And again, Tatum was the best offensive scorer in the draft. I got a hard time believing that DeAndre Ayton's the best scorer in the draft. I have a hard time believing Trae Young's the best scorer in the draft. All I did was see Marvin Bagley score the ball. And I score the ball in pretty much every imaginable way possible. Bagley would be the guy I would take first in the draft. And I could be totally wrong on this. But that's the guy I'm putting my chips in. Anyway, thanks for listening to the show. That's Some Cheese, part of the Vedetta Sports Podcast Network. You can find me, your host, Trey Daubert, at Trey Daubert, TreyDaubert. The draft should be a lot of fun. I can't wait. A couple real quick things before I let you go. Dante DiVincenzo, Mo Wagner, Jalen Brunson. Big time on my radar for the Celtics at 27. We'll see what they do. But I'm just telling you right now, beat that offer for Kawhi Leonard and come talk to me. You know where to find me? Tell me who can beat that offer. But again, thanks for listening to That's the Cheese, and we will see you soon.